Okay, Rabbi Ossi. So we're actually beyond the Mishnah now, and we're studying the Gemara on Daf Chaf Tes Amid Beis. Kaposik Vitani. Chaf Tes Amid Beis. If somebody can point it out to Harvey, he's already finished the parak, so you have to go back to the beginning of the parak here. Okay. Does anybody need an extra Gemara? There's one extra Gemara here. If anybody needs one, I'm not talking to you. Okay. So the Gemara says Kaposik Vitani, the Mishnah doesn't make any differentiations, and therefore implying that there are no restrictions to the psul. No restrictions to the psul. That's like a double negative, meaning that the psul in all the cases that are enumerated in the Mishnah apply straight through all of Sukkos. That's called Loshna Biyantiv Rishon, Loshna Biyantiv Sheni. I indicated yesterday that we need a whole separate discussion about Yontif Sheni Shel Golius. Now we're not discussing Yontif Sheni Shel Golius. What's the status of Yontif Sheni Shel Golius? Does it have the same identical status as the first day of Yontif? Or does it have the same status as the rest of Yontif? That's a sugya unto itself, very complicated sugya. So we're going to assume now that the phrase in the Gemara Yontif Sheni refers to all the days of Yontif. So the Gemara says the following, Bishlei B'Yavesh, I could justify the fact that Yavesh is possible for all 7 days. Why? Because Hadar Be'inon V'lecha. We require Hadar. The Torah calls an Esrog, creates Hadar. And if you have a lulav, that is, let's say, broken, or for example, it's dried up, in all those cases, we're going to say that it's not called Hadar. So what I just presented to you is the Shitas HaTosus. That's how Tosus learns this sugya. And that's how you and I would have learned this sugya. Rashi, on the other hand, takes us in a different direction. And Rashi says that the problem of Yavesh is not a problem of Hadar, but it's a problem of Mehudar. And Rashi invokes the Pasuk Zeh Kehli V'Anvehu. So Rashi holds that what we derive from the Pasuk V'Anvehu is that something that's Yavesh, it's absolutely dried up, cannot be used for a mitzvah. And it'd be interesting to see how Rashi could perhaps broaden this beyond the 4 cubits of lulav. You know, you might find in other mitzvahs that if you have something that's very dried up, in kodshim it could be very, very relevant, then it could be, come in, join us. There's a seat for you here if you don't find one.
A couple over here.
Okay, a couple of them here. Yeah. If you want to hear, you're going to have to go around that way. Okay. All right. Okay. So that if something becomes dried up, it's no longer van veyu. And if it's no longer van veyu, Rashi says it's possible for a mitzvah. Interesting. That's Rashi's sheet. Okay. Now, there's something very odd that's going on here in our sugya. If you take a look, the Gemara now is going to embark on the following project. Let's compare the first two cases that are formulated in the Mishnah. We have the case of Yavesh and we have the case of Guzzle. In the other order, right? But together we have a unit that's called Guzzle and Yavesh. A stolen lulav and a dried up lulav, right? Now, Rashi tells us that the psul of Yavesh is Zeh Kehli V'Anvehu. Okay, and Tosa says the psul of Yavesh, which is a simple, straightforward reading of the Gemara, is Hadar. Clearly, the case of Guzzle has nothing to do neither with Zeh Kehli V'Anvehu nor with the psul of Hadar, meaning there's nothing wrong with the Heft itself. The lulav looks exactly identical to any other lulav. The only problem is it was a stolen lulav. Other than that, can you tell by a hair's breadth any difference between that? I have two lulavim in front of me. They look identical. They're twins. Right? One is stolen and the other is not stolen. So why is one puzzle and the other not puzzle? Okay, so the Gemara says, El Yavesh, so El Guzzle, in the last three lines on the Amud. And if you need a Gemara, there's an extra Gemara here if you want to take one. He says, El Guzzle. He says, I understand why Guzzle is possible, because the Torah says, L'kachtem lachem. And what does lachem mean, Rabosai? Mishelachem. That has to be yours. And Guzzle is not shelachem. Again, we're going to have to see various permutations, because it could be that at some point the Gazlan does make a kinyan and he acquires ownership over the stolen goods. But as a general rule, a stolen object belongs to the nigzal. It doesn't belong to the gazler. I mean, he doesn't acquire ownership, and therefore there's no lochem. Now, if that be the case, why does the Mishnah combine together lulav hagazel with lulav hayovich? The Mishnah itself is very, very meticulous about how it sets up its categories and its units. The word pasul, let's count how many times the word pasul appears in the Mishnah. Let's go through it. There's number one, lulav hayovesh va'gazel, right? That's number one. It says pasul. Then it says shal asher shalir nidachas pasul. Then we have in the third unit we have niktam rosho nifritzu olav pasul. And then the Mishnah goes on to tell you what the shear of a lulav is, the minimum height of a lulav, correct? So the word pasul appears in the Mishnah, if I'm not mistaken, how many times?
Three times.
Four? Did I miss a fourth?
Yeah.
I only find three.
Three.
But the number three is not, this is not keneged avos or tefilos or karbonos. It happens to be the number three. I'm not darshaning here like the Maharal Prague on the significance of the number three. What I'm just trying to point out to you is that these three words, psul, are really like barriers, kind of like a sof pasuk. You know, it stops and it introduces another unit, and it stops and introduces a third unit. So, for example, if we take the second unit, we have shal asherah v'shal ir anidachas. I mean, that's clearly... What's the lowest common denominator between those two?
Avodah Zarah.
Right? In both cases, the violation was Avodah Zarah, so that fits very beautifully. We have also the category called Niktam Rosho and Nifritzu Olav. In those cases, the lulav was like ripped apart, so to speak. You know, it doesn't even have a Tzuris HaLulav. The head was chopped off. We don't know exactly what the head means. Yeah, there are a number of possibilities. Or the leaves have just kind of like fallen off the shidra. They're not connected to the spine of the lulav, and therefore those two combine together to form a unit. But when we took a look at the first part of the Mishnah, that's called lulav hagazel vayavesh. Here, one could certainly object: this is not one unit. Gazel is pasul, says the Gemara. Why? And Rashi emphasizes it.
Lachem.
And Yovesh is pasul. Well, here we have Machlokas Rashi and Tosus. Tosus says Yovesh is pasul kipshuto shel sugya because of Hadar, and Rashi holds because of Zekeli v'anveyu. But either way, it's not a psul because of chisar and lachem. There's no lack of bilus here. I own this lulav; it's mine. I paid for it. You know, it's registered in my assets. You know, when I do what's called a hatzarat hon, you know, I mention that I own this lulav. The only problem with the lulav is that it's yavish; it's a dried up lulav. But to say that there's a chisar of lachem, you know, just because he dried up, I don't own it. That makes no sense at all.
Huh.
You hear me? So that's what I'm wondering here about the integration of Gazel and Yavish into one entity. So I want to suggest something, and it's a little bit far out. You know, you'll have to tell me if you like it or not. And if you don't like it, you'll just have to leave. That's all. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. If you don't like it, you have to say better. That's all. I want to suggest the following. That this integration of lulav hagazel with lulav hayavish, I think, is the greatest proof to Shitas Rashi. I'm even inclined to think that maybe this is what compelled Rashi to introduce Zekeli Yaveo, which is like out there in the wild blue yonder. You know, in American baseball, we call it from right field, you know, left field. Like, what does it say anything about Zekeli Yaveo over here? The whole sugya is talking about Hadar. So I want to suggest the following. That a psul of Hadar is in the chefts of the lulav. And when I say lulav here, obviously lulav is just representative of the dalet meaning. For example, if the tzuras halulav has been changed in such a way that the lulav is now headless, or the lulav is now ulaless, you know, it has no leaves on it. So clearly, the lulav has changed its appearance, its biological structure. And that's a psul in chefta because the Torah says hadar. And logically, one could have made the following analogy, and that's what I think Tosis did, and Rashi objected to this. And making the analogy between Yavesh And the other cases of niktam, etc., yavesh is also a biological change in the appearance of the lulav. What color is the lulav?
Green.
It's green, right? In fact, we're going to have a whole discussion later on about black lulav. You know, there are all sorts of types of lulav. If any lulav you ever dreamt of, we'll find it. So lulav has to be green. An esrog also has to be green. We're going to have a whole sugya about a shvarza esrog. Literally, a kushi. It's called an esrog kushi. That's what the Gemara calls it. An Ethiopian esrog. I don't mean that literally, but it looks like an Ethiopian. It's black. So a lulav has to look green. And if it's yavesh, it turns brown. So one would logically, and that's what I think Tosis, according to Rashi, was guilty of making the analogy that yavesh belongs to the same category as niktam arosho or nifridu olav. Because the physical structure of the lulav has changed so fundamentally that it's not hadar. Now, what kasha are you going to ask on Tosfos? If Tosfos is right that Yavesh comes under the category of Niktam Rosha, which means it's all a psul nechefza, because it doesn't appear like a lulav, and therefore it's hadar. So, what question should you ask? Why is it combined with lulav agazel? And here's where Rashi, I think, has one up on Tosfos. When the Mishnah deliberately combines Yavesh with Lula, with Guzzle, it wants to convey a very important message. That Yavesh is not a psul in the Chefza. There's no radical change in the Chefza. It's not so Yavesh. It's not so dry. Again, we're going to have five different sheets about what Yavesh is. But it's not so dry that it is completely undermines the Tzuras HaLulav. The Lulav as a whole still looks like a Lulav. It's not a headless Lulav. It's not a Lulav where the spine is separated from its leaves from its spine. It got a little brown on top. Nishkeferlach, as we say in Yiddish, right? It's not so tragic. So Rashi wants to tell you that Yavesh has to come under a different psul. It's not the psul of Hadar. But the word Hadar here should be reinterpreted. It's not Hadar in the sense of Parshas Emor, creates Hadar, but Hadar in the sense of Parshas Bishal, meaning Zekei Livyanveyu. The pasuk Zekei Livyanveyu is coming to tell me that when I take a lulav, or for that matter any of the dalet minim, it can't be yavesh. That's what Vayan Veyu is telling me. I come in front of the Ribono Shel Olam with a set of moist and fresh four minim, not with old, dried up four minim, because that's not the way I come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayan Veyu, and I beautify the mitzvah in front of the Almighty. And Rashi holds that's a psul, not in the chefta, but rather in what? Phil, can you help me here? Exactly. In the maisa l'kicha, the maisa n'tilu. The Torah says, take a lulav in a way that's zekei livyanveyu. The zekei livyanveyu describes the maisa in any case that the Torah commands me to do an act of a mitzvah. The mitzvah has to be done in a way that's vyanveyu. Vyanveyu shows and demonstrates my absolute adoration and respect for the Almighty. If I do a mitzvah in a way that mitzvah, I come in front of Hashem and it's yavesh, it's just dry, that's not vyanveyu. That's a psul in the maisa l'kicha. And Rabosai, where else do I find a psul in the maisa l'kicha and the netila when I come in front of the Rabbona Shalom with my dalad mina? Where is it in the Mishnah? Gazel. Gazel has nothing to do with the cheftza. The chefetz ha-gazel looks identical to a chefetz to a lulav that's not gazel. I have two lulav in here. Tell me which one is stolen. You can't tell me. They're identical. So the psul can't be in the cheftza. It can only be in the maisa netila. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to me, L'kachtem lachem, come in front of me with the dal minim, I have to come in front without an avera element. The avera element disqualifies that maisa mitzvah. The lekicha of a maisa mitzvah cannot be a lekicha that is a result of an avera, because that undermines the lekicha. Ah, says Rashi, if the Mishnah opens up by telling me lulav hagazel is possible, now the Mishnah wants to tell me a chiddush. that if lulav hagazel is possible because in a maisa lekicha, I have another category, says the Mishnah, another scenario in which we're going to passel your mitzvah because it's not a maisa mitzvah. And what's that? Yavesh. And Rashi goes out of his way to call this a mitzvah. Rashi adds the word mitzvah here. And why? Because Rashi wants to emphasize that this is halacha mitzvah. Which mitzvah? All mitzvahs. When Rashi uses the word mitzvah, he's telling you that this is a generic mitzvah, faceless mitzvah. This is a faceless principle in mitzvahs. What I mean to say is that it applies universally to all mitzvahs. Any mitzvah requires van veyu. That's why Rashi introduces van veyu. Because Rashi wants to classify yavesh together with what? With guzzle. And how does he achieve that goal? The answer is because yavesh is a psul in the maisa lekicha and not in the cheft itself. As far as the cheft itself, it still looks like a lulav. It's not a headless lulav. We can get away with it. Push it in. It passes the minimum requirement. It looks like a lulav, and it is a lulav. There's no psul in the cheft. But there's an even more far-reaching psul in the maisa netila. And Rabosai, what would be, perhaps, the most dramatic and extreme case in Dalet Minim of a psul in the Maisa Lekicha? I'll give you a hint. Exactly. If you had 3 out of 4 of the Minim. And that psul is so fundamental that it's going to apply straight across the board, whether it's the first day of Yontif, whether it's the balance of Yontif. Netilas Lulav means 4 Minim. What else?
That's what you said, Aguda.
Aguda is not. That's a whole different issue. Aguda, okay, we'll come back to Aguda, but that's a different kind of Zekei L'Yamveyu. That's not a Zekei L'Yamveyu that completely undermines the Maisa Mitzvah. Agency. Anybody know what I mean by agency? Sam, you have any idea what I have in mind? Can I send you as my agent to take the Dalet Minim? The Gemara says no. It says ulakachtem lachem shetei lekicha lekol echad v'echad. Lafuke, what concept is excluded? Shlichus. There's no shlichus in Dalet Minim. The Gemara has the same drush in Menachos as far as Sfiras Omer is concerned. Usfartem lachem shetei sfir lekol echad v'echad. Now maybe you could be yotzi with someone else's bracha, but you have to count it yourself. Uh-huh. If you want to be a counted Jew, you have to be able to count yourself, right? So you have to do the Maisa Sfira. And so too in Netila, you have to do the Maisa Netila. So if you send an agent to perform the Netilas Lulav, that's not called the Maisa Netila. Rashi takes this fundamental concept of the requirement of Maisa Netila and extends it to Gzela and to Yavesh. Here's where the Chiddush of Rashi lies in the case of Yavesh. If Rashi would have told me that Gezel, a lulav hagozel, is a psul n'maisa lekicha, I wouldn't blink about that. There's no question that a lulav hagozel, as far as the Cheft is concerned, is identical with any other lulav. There's no reason in the world to pass a lulav hagozel. But as far as Maisa Netila is concerned, the Torah says, ulakachtem lachem, which means it's got to be yours. And it means it's got to be a beautiful lekicha lefnei Hashem. It can't be a stolen lulav. So the two reasons why I would disqualify a stolen lulav under chisaron b'maisa hanetila. Number one is because you don't own the lulav. And number two, it's because there's an avera that's intertwined with this maisa hanetila. It's the avera that set up the lekicha. That's not called a maisa mitzvah. And therefore, the psul of mitzvah baba aver is not a singular psul in lulav, but rather it's what? A universal psul in every mitzvah. Any mitzvah baba aver. You steal a piece of matzah, that's already a psul in the maisin. Comes along Rashi with his gevaldige revolution, and he says, you know what? I have a news for you. I have a chiddush for you. Yavesh is a psul in the maisin lekicha. Has nothing to do with hadar. It's not in the cheft. As far as the cheft is concerned, Yavesh is not perfect. I admit that to you. It's not grade number one. But that wouldn't pass. I pass it because of Zekeli Yaveh, meaning Zekeli Yaveh was a drasha that teaches me two things. Number one, as Dr. Joel said before, if I lack the igud, you know, I buy my new son-in-law a talus and I didn't put any silver lining on the talus, okay? So, okay, you know, the above and beyond the relationship between a shver and his edim, you know, beyond that. So my son-in-law says, wait, it's not a mitzvah muderes, you know, you should have beautified it with some silver. He didn't say that. That's a different, that's agad. That's agad means to beautify a mitzvah. But I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about something that's the opposite of a beautiful mitzvah. What could be the opposite of a moist, green, fresh lulav? Yavesh. Yavesh is min hakotza lakotza. It's the exact antithesis of zekeli v'aveh. So in general, zekeli v'aveh might be, well, I could have embellished it and beautified it even more and more and more. And that's what I should do. As much as I have money in my pocket, the Gemara says, on shlish, or two opinions, milago, milara, but whatever it is, the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Tes. How much you should spend for the Heder Mitzvah. You know, an Esrog costs 100, and now I want to be Mahadah, should I spend 200? Is 200, you know, spend an extra 100% of its value? That's only Hidur. That's only elements or levels of Hidur, Rabosai. But what happens when you have an object that's on the other extreme end? And that's called Yavesh. And Rashi says that in the case of Yavesh, unlike the absence of Agai, the Lulav is possible. And in a certain sense, Rashi says, the Mishnah went out of its way to indicate that, to transmit that message by telling you should group it together with Gozel. Gozel has nothing to do with Hadar. Gozel has nothing to do with the Psul Cheftza. And Yavesh also is not a Psul Cheftza, because as far as the Cheftza is concerned, it passes the minimum basis. It's brown, but it's still a little. However, Vanve. And all this was very exciting to me, except for one Gemara that seems to say the exact opposite. So, Rabosa, what I want to do with you now is fast forward for a moment to Daf Lamed Aleph. It's not that far down the line. You really only have to turn one page. But the challenge is going to be for you to find the Gemara that I'm looking for, okay? So, if I were to split the page right down the middle, I'm not sure where it would land. But I need to go a little bit further below the middle on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph. If I were to count up lines from the bottom of the page, Mitch is not here today, so I assume we all have the classical Talmud Bavli in front of us. Okay? Mitch usually uses the Steinsaltz, so then I get all confused because I can't tell him exactly where to find it on the page. Oh, you also say you have a Steinsaltz? Okay, so you'll have to help me out here. In my Gemara, it's about 15 lines up, no, more even, maybe 20 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. The first word in the line, again, that's not going to help you if you have a Steinsaltz, is dummy. Don't be insulted, I didn't call anyone by that name. Okay, no one here is a dummy, but that's the word, dummy. You have it?
No.
No, okay. I didn't expect you to catch it so fast. You know. The second word of the line is what? Just to test you, see if I'm the same. Tana. Okay. Now, Tana introduces a brisa. And this brisa is going to surprise us by presenting a shita of a Tana that a lulav hayavesh is kosher. And that's the shita Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda in general is always the revolutionary. Sometimes it's Rav Shimon, but it's either one of three Tanoim. It's either Rav Shimon, Rav Meir, or Rav Yehuda. Those are the radical Tanoim. So the Braisa says the following. Yavesh posel. That's the opinion of the Tanakam, or our Mishnah. But what we don't know from our Mishnah is Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda Machshir. Rabbi Yehuda says that a lulav hayovesh is kosher. Omar Rav. Now, our job here is to do two things. Number one, to understand what Rav is going to tell us. And number two, to try to understand what compels Rav. But Rav was bothered by something. So first, let's see, obviously, what Rav is telling us. Omar Rav. Machlokes bilulav dirabbana. I'm sorry. I didn't put the kav in the right place. I'm just testing you to see if you...
we can read the arts from.
No. Okay, machlokes belula.
What does that say?
Okay, somebody help Harvey find machlokes belula. Harvey, take your right finger and put it on the place so I know you have the place. Okay, good. Machlokes belula. Okay. By the way, lulav here means specifically a lulav, and it's two attachments, so to speak. I call them nachshlepers. Who are the two nachshlepers to the lulav? The adasim and the aravos. So lulav, when you mean to isolate the lulav, is lafukes, to exclude which? The esrog. Okay then? So if I see two words in the Gemara, anywhere in Shas, that say machlokes belulav, it means that there's no machlokes in what? In esrog. And if I tell you there's a machlokas about the status of a lulav hayovesh, and then I add Rava's comment that machlokas is only in lulav, what am I telling you about an esrog hayovesh? That even Rabbi Yehuda, I want you to spell it out, I'm sorry, even Rabbi Yehuda would say that it's possible. So it comes out like this, Rav Osai, as we move our way, maneuver through Rava's labyrinth here. Rava's going to tell us that there are two dinim here. There's one din of esrog and there's another din of lulav with regard to yovesh. So our title here, title page is yovesh, and that title page divides up into two subcategories, esrog and lulav. And he says the following, Rav, don't come to the following mistake and assume that when Rav Yehuda says in this price that a yovesh is kosher, what he meant to say was lulav representing all four minim. That's not what he meant. Because Rabbi Yehuda himself admits that an esrog hayovesh is possible. So what is the machlokas then? If you're telling me that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that a what? That an esrog hayovesh is possible, then... Fosepis, why would you differentiate Rabbi Yehuda? If Rabbi Yehuda was here in the room, I would open my eyes, you know, in amazement. I would say, Rabbi Yehuda, you accept the psul of Yehuda. You know, look, if not for Rava, you could say that for some reason, Rabbi Yehuda says, we mentioned it before, that maybe the lulav still looks like a lulav. Again, it's a little bit dry, but, you know, in Poland, there were cities where they couldn't find a dalimim. So you had last year's lulav. Again, it doesn't look so good, but it's yavish. But that's what you got. But now you're telling me, Rava, that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that what? That yavish is a psul. And how do I know that Rava says that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that yavish is a psul? In what case, Harvey, is yavish a psul? Even according to Rabbi Yehuda,
esrog.
If it's an esrog,
yavesh, according to Rabbi Yehuda, says Rava, is possible. So why not go one step further and apply the same yardstick to what? To lulav. Pardon the word yardstick here, because you know the lulav is vertical. So it means that we're in trouble here. Why? Because for whatever reason you'll tell me that yavesh is possible in esrog, I'm going to logically apply that to the lulav as well, am I not? Ah, but let's go back to the biblical verse. And where does the word hadar appear in Parshas Emor in the pasuk lekachem lachem? Pre-eitz hadar. It doesn't say kapos tmarim hadar. It doesn't say arve nachal hadar. So the Torah doesn't use the word hadar to beautify, except in the case of what? Of esrog. Rabbanan savri, Makshinon lulav liesrog. Right? What's the noun here that's being conjugated in the word makshinon? What's the noun, the shorish of the word makshinon? Hekesh. Hekesh. When you take a hekesh, which is an analogy, and you turn it into a verb, it becomes makshinon. Interesting. The Aramaic language was developed to fit into halachic thinking. That's what they did with the language of Aramaic. So they took the word hekesh and they made it into makshinon. Makshinon lulav esrog. Where does it say in the pasuk that you require hadar? It's got to be beautiful by esrog. But makshinon esrog lulav. And if lulav is mentioned right after pre-eitz hadar, because it says kapos tmarim, we're going to make a hekesh between the two. And Don, have you ever heard of a hekesh? Mm-hmm. If you finish Masechta Zvachim, you heard of hekesh probably no less than 30 times, I'm just guessing, because all over Masechta Zvachim, it's all built on hekesh. The whole Masechta Zvachim, they should change the name. It shouldn't be called Masechta Zvachim, it should be called Masechta Hekesh. Now, Menachas, I can't tell you about. So makshinon lulav liesrog. We're going to compare lulav to esrog, and just like the Torah requires what in the case of esrog, what's the key word in the pasuk? Hadar. So too in the case of lulav, by virtue of the hekesh, it's as if the Torah said kapos tmarim
mahudar.
Right, hadar. Is ma esrog by hadar af lulav by hadar? Rabbi Yehuda Sarah lo makshin and lulav liesrog. The requirement of hadar is limited according to Rabbi to what? To esrog, and I don't have the hekesh. Israel Posai, what do we see from this sugya? Black and white. What's the psul of Yavish? The whole sugya is about Yavish. Rabbi Yehuda was makshin b'yavish. Says Rava, Rabbi Yehuda is makshin b'yavish. Why? Because he doesn't have the word hadar in lulav. But where does he have the word hadar? In esrog. So the requirement of hadar is going to passel an esrog al yavish, but we don't make the next jump and passel a lulav al yavish. So now I go back to square one. Who's right in the machlokas between Tosus and Rashi at the beginning of this perek about the nature and the essence of the psul of yavish? Tosus' sheet is that what's the psul of Yavesh? Hadar. And Rashi's sheet is what's the psul of Yavesh? A different pasuk in Sefer Shmos where it says Zekeli V'anveu. Rabbi Isai, what does it say here on Daf Lamed Aleph of an Aleph? What's the psul of Yavesh? Hadar. The only problem is that the word Hadar only appears in where? In Esrig. And I don't know if I can be makish lulav liesrig. So the Gansa Machloikis here is whether you accept the Hekesh and the analogy between Lulav and Esrog. But if there's a Psul of Yavesh, then the Psul of Yavesh is going to be based on Hadar. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda, he says, well, an Esrog HaYavesh is possible because it says Hadar, creates Hadar. But a Lulav HaYavesh is Kasher because the Torah doesn't say Hadar in Lulav. I rest my case here, Rabbos. This mamish closes the book. Rashi wants to say that the psul of Yavesh is Zekeh. It's not a maisa netilah, as we said before. Come in front of Hashem with a Yavesh. No. That just doesn't go, says Rashi. That's a psul because it's Eino lulav muhuderes. Eino mitzvah muhuderes. Tosa says, because it says Hadar. The Gemara says that the issue of Yavesh is the issue of Hadar. I'm holding on to my emotions here because I don't want to get depressed. Trying to hold it back. I'm a big fan of Rashi, and we've been working on Rashi for a couple of days now. I don't want to give up the ship. But here, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I'm just at the point of a breakdown here. I don't know. How do we get Rashi here? So let me ask another question. You know, a Jew who answers one question with another question sometimes, paradoxically, makes progress towards answering the first question. That's the way it works in the world of halachic thinking. You know, a second question doesn't make it worse, but it makes it better sometimes. It doesn't always work. What bothers Rav? Where's Rava coming from? Rava says, yeah, there's a hekesh, there's no hekesh, machlokus is only hekesh. Basically, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that an esrog ha yovesh is possible. And Rabbi Yehuda is only arguing in the case of lulav. And Rava's creating some sort of fantastical chiddush here. And we can applaud Rava because the logic is solid. It makes sense. But mehechatesi. I mean, what compelled Rava to come up with this whole fantastical chiddush that when Rabbi Yehuda in the Tanya in the Mishnah in the Brice, excuse me, is recorded as saying that Yavish is kosher, Rabbi Yehuda hechsher b'yavish? No, says Rava. Don't get mistaken here. Don't fall off the cliff. It doesn't mean that Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's no psul of Yavish. Rabbi Yehuda himself accepts the psul of Yavish. Where? In Esrog. I mean, with all due respect to Rava, where's he coming from?
Because he's talking about the lulav. He wants to be explained.
So wait a minute. If you would have asked me, you give a shir, and the Roshiva gets up and he says lulav hayavish is possible, but Rabbi Yehuda says lulav hayavish is kosher. So what would have been your impression? Again, without Rava, we're all great scholars because we know Rava daf lamed al. But what would have been your intuitive sense if the Mishnah records a machlokas about lulav, and in the case, well, it's not actually the Mishnah, because as I said before, the Mishnah only records the Shita of the Chacham that lulav hayovesh is possible. Comes along the Brice and records the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says that lulav hayovesh is kosher. What does that sound to you? Well, I don't know. You might come up with a different answer. I'll tell you what it sounds like to me. Rabbi Yehuda does not recognize the psul of Yavish. Yavish is not on his screen. It's not on his radar screen. Council of Rabbi says, no. Burrs on you, off the mark. Even Rabbi Yehuda accepts the psul of what?
Of Yavish.
Just that he limits it to Hechad Iksiv, Hechad Iksiv Rachman. The Torah only said the psul of Yavish in the context of Esrog. But fundamentally, Rabbi Yehuda's on board. He has the psul of Yavish. Where? In Esrog. Where did Rava have it? Did some little birdie whisper into Rava's ears, that Rabbi Yehuda himself accepts and acknowledges the psul of Yavish? Just that he limits it to Esrog.
It's an extreme position.
Why? But what compelled Rava to come up with that extreme position that Rabbi Yehuda accepted the psul, fundamentally accepted the psul of Yavish? Now the answer to this question could only lie in one word, which is in the Torah. What word is in the Torah? Hadar. It says Hadar. Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda can't cross out the word Hadar. Yeah, you can't just take Tepex and erase the word. We used to call it whiteout. I don't know, I guess every country has its own name for it, right? You can't just white out the word Hadar. So Rava says, wait a minute. Is Rabbi Yehuda denying Hadar? I mean, the Torah says Hadar, right?
That's obviously the question. I mean, the Braisa is a generalization. Yovesh Paso. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. We don't know what it's talking about, but whatever it is, Rabbi Yehuda is Machshir by a Yavish.
Yeah.
Rav is bothered by that because there's a pasuk.
Excellent, beautiful. That's what I wanted to suggest.
So he has to make a decision.
How could it be that Rabbi Yehuda denies the psul of Yavish when the Torah says Hadar? The only problem is, Rabosei, then we're falling deeper and deeper into the quagmire, into the mud here. Because again, whose sheet are we reflecting? Under whose influence have we come? Tosis against Rashi. Why? Because Tosis insists that Yavesh is a psul of what? Of Hadar. So therefore, Rava was bothered, and this fits so beautifully into Shitas HaTosis, by the word Hadar. Rava says that Yavesh is clearly not Hadar. And if Yavesh is not Hadar, then how do we justify Rabbi Yehuda? The Torah requires Hadar. And the answer is because Rabbi Yehuda limits the requirement of Hadar to what? To Esrog, and he doesn't apply it by virtue of the Hekesh to Lulav. But what do we do for Rashi? Because Rashi is of the opinion that lulav hayavish is not a psul of hadar. Rashi consistently, and we showed yesterday the three times again and again and again, Rashi says that the psul of yavish is zekelim yamdeim. So the question is, how do we understand the sugya according to Rashi? So I want to suggest the following. Again, as I said before, you're the jury out there. You can laugh me out of here. It's up to you. Where is Rava coming from, according to Shitas Rashi?
Definitions.
Give me a minute, Harvey, and then the floor is yours. I just want to develop one possible idea. The Braisa quotes Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda machshir biyavish. You know what? I have a new interpretation of the words in the Braisa of Yehuda machshir biyavish. And here's my interpretation. This is what I call pre-Rava, if you follow me. Before Rava came to the scene. You know what it means, Rabbi Yehuda machshir biyavish? He means to say that midrabanan, when the mitzvah of lulav is the rabbanan never went as far as the possible yavish.
They never did.
They never did. Why? Because the rabbanan want to expand our possibilities. And they want to allow us to use for a mitzvah derabbanan. The whole purpose of this mitzvah derabbanan is to remind us of what went on when the Beis Hamikdash stood. And therefore, the rabbanan did not insist on the highest standards for their mitzvah derabbanan. They lowered the standards. The Doraisa standards were very high and very demanding. The rabbanan lowered their guard. And if this pshat in Rabbi Yehuda is correct, Rabbi Yehuda machshir biyavish means the following: that Rabbi Yehuda fundamentally agrees that on the first day of Yontif, a lulav hayavish is possible. When Rabbi Yehuda was machshir biyavish, he meant as far as lulav derabbanan. When does the mitzvah of lulav derabbanan begin? When does it commence? On the second day. So from the second day and on, Rabbi Yehuda's machshir biyavish. Rabbi Yehuda objects to the Chachamim because the Chachamim went as far as to say that if the Torah prohibits or disqualifies yavish for the first day, say the rabbanan, let's sweep it over and call the tikkun d'oraisa came to rabbanan tikkun, call the tikkun rabbanan came to d'oraisa. Then the rabbanan are going to go as far as to equate their standards with the Torah standards, and if the Torah excludes a yavish, hop on board, as we would say. You know those buses they call hop on, hop off buses? So that's what we're going to say. The rabbanan are going to say, let's hop on. You know, in San Francisco, they still have these open carts, you know, where if you sort of like jump onto it, you hold on for dear life. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to San Francisco. It's amazing that they still have this in the 20th century, but it's a lot of fun. Very dangerous. But anyway, so the Rabbanan is saying, you know what? If the Torah says that, then a lulav hayavish is possible, and that excludes the lulav hayavish on the first day of Yontif, then we, the Rabbanan, are going to extend that to encompass all 7 days. And here's where Rabbi Yehuda gets up and he objects. I agree with you. I have no qualms, no issues with you as far as the first day of Yontif. Because on the first day of Yontif, the mitzvah of lulav is what? Is the Oraisa. And then the Torah says that Yavish is excluded. But for the balance of Yontif, that's where the Rabbanan could lower their standards and a Yavish could be kosher. So this possibility of understanding Rabbi Yehuda and the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda was out there in the air. It was out there in space. And that's where Rava gets up and he gives his shtickel Torah. Says Rava, Rabbi Yehuda machshir biyavish, even what? Even on the first day of Yom Tov. And the reason for it is because on the first day of Yontif, the only way that you can establish any sort of psul is through Hadar, and that doesn't apply to Lulav. So let me read this to you. I want to read the following. If not for Rava, I'm reading from my little crib sheets here that I summarized. We could have said that Rabbi Yehuda rejects Vianvehu. Watch this. According to Rabbi Yehuda, as opposed to the Chachamim, the Pasuk Vianvehu would not exclude the Maisa Lekicha, the Maisa Netila, of a Lulav HaYavish. Even though the Lulav is dry, nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda insists, I can still take this lulav for the mitzvah of ulukachtem lachem. Come along chachamim, and they say no. This is not ulukachtem lachem. This is not called ulukicha. However, even though Rabbi Yehuda is machshir biyavish, that's because he rejects the application of Vianvehu to the case of a Yavesh. He's not willing to say that Vianvehu is going to passel, is going to undermine the Maisa Mitzvah in the case of a Lulav HaYavesh. He agrees that Lulav HaYavesh is not Mahudar. It's not a beautiful Lulav, that's for sure. But that's not far, that doesn't go far enough. That's not dramatic enough to undermine and negate the Maisa Netila. Okay, this is all before Rav. Oh. But now, the Pasuk says, Hadar. Rabbi Yehuda, although he rejects the psul of Maisa Netila, on the Vianvehu, he does accept the drasha of Hadar, which again is written by Esrog, but he applies it straight across the board, including Lula. And therefore, what's going to be the status of a Lula of Hayavish on the first day of Yontif? It's going to be possible. Again, this is all before Rav. Is everybody with me here? In other words, what I'm doing is I'm structuring the Havavina of how to interpret this Bryce according to Shitas Rashi before Rava came along. So number one, we assume that Rabbi Yehuda's Machshir B'Yavish is only for when? Only the balance of Yomtiv, not on the first day. How do we justify this Shita of Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda rejects one drasha, but he accepts the other drasha. He rejects the drasha of what? The Anveil. And he's unwilling to accept and acknowledge a psul in the Maisa Netila of Yavish. Now, as we said, according to Rashi, if there's a psul in Maisa Netila, then that's going to apply all 7 days. So, for example, Rashi understood very well that when the Gemara said Bishleim a Yavish, we understand Kaposik Vitani. What does Kaposik Vitani mean? All 7 days, right? The psul is all 7 days. Rashi understood that why is this psul for 7 days? Because it's not a Maisa Netila. It would be comparable to taking 3 out of 4 minim or sending a proxy. That would be meaningless any day of Yontif, from the beginning of Yontif until the end of Yontif. So that's the Kaposik Vitani according to Rashi and Yovesh. Rabbi Yehuda rejects that. That's where the machlokas lies. The machlokas between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda is on the pasuk Vianvehu. How much power do you grant to the pasuk Vianvehu? According to the Rabbanan, Vianvehu completely disqualifies Elulav Hayavish. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, Vianvehu could not pass Elulav Hayavish. Again, it's not, you know, like your Agad case, Dr. Joel, you know, it's not a beautified, embellished mitzvah. You know, you have 2 esrogim in front of you. One is much more beautiful than the other. But that wouldn't pass the lulav. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. But there's another drasha, Rabbosai, as far as Yavish is concerned. What's that? Not the pasuk of Yadveyu, but the pasuk of Hadar. Oh, pasuk of Hadar? Here, Rabbi Yehuda is on board. He agrees to the Chachamim that we can take the drush of Hadar and exclude Yavesh, both in the case of Esrog where it's explicit, and in the case of Lulav by virtue of the Hekesh. So it comes out then that the machlokas between Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda applies to which days of Yom Tov? Only from the second and on. As far as the first day of Yom Tov is concerned, Hadar could exclude even what? Even Yavesh. And Rabbi Yehuda doesn't deny that. So Rabbi Yehuda's objection to the Rechachomim is with regard to the Pasuk Vean Vehu that's coming to exclude the Maisa Netil in the case of Yavesh, that would exclude and disqualify a Yavesh for all 7 days. That's where Rabbi Yehuda says, I can't tolerate that. But on the first day, Rabbi Yehuda, he has the drush of Hadar, and that's going to exclude Yavesh. Okay. Comes along Rav, and Rav says, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir B'Yavesh means what? Even on the first day. And why is that so? Not only does Rabbi Yehuda reject the drash of the Anveyu as far as the Maisa Netila, he even rejects the drash of what? Of Hadar. And if he rejects the drash of Hadar, then a Lulav HaYavesh is going to be kosher even on the first day. So the difference between the Hava Mina before Rava, the Maskot of Rava, is the following. In the Hava Mina before Rava, we thought Rabbi Yehuda objects to the Chacham only as far as the Drosh of Anveyu is concerned. But he definitely embraces the Drosh of Hadar, and therefore the Psul of Yavesh would apply in the first day. The Maskana, which is Rava, is that there's no Psul of Hadar, because Rabbi Yehuda rejects not only the Drosh of Anveyu and the Maisa Netila, but he rejects the application of Hadar to Yavesh in the case of the first day of Yom Tov, and therefore of you, the Machshir B'Yavesh, even on the first day. Now, if I had to prove Rava Shita, because we made such a good, I think, a good argument for the Hava Mina, I would use the principle of Stoma. Stoma means, if you make a statement without qualifying it, that's just what it is. It's unqualified. So what did Rabbi Yehuda say in the Braisa? Rabbi Yehuda Machshir B'Yavesh. What does that sound like? All 7 days. So Rav is going to say that the simple interpretation of the text of Rabbi Yehuda, the formulation of the words of Rabbi Yehuda, is that even on the first day Yavesh is kosher, because Rabbi Yehuda Machshir B'Yavesh. It means that Rabbi Yehuda rejects the drush of Hadar, even as far as the first day is concerned. Okay. Now, if Rabbi Yehuda rejects the drush of Hadar, and therefore he doesn't passel a Lulav HaYavesh even on the first day, who knows, maybe the Rabbanan also reject the drush of Hadar. And how do we know that the Rabbana could not possibly reject the drush of Hadar? Niktam and Nifridu. Niktam and Nifridu, the Mishnah says, is apostle. At least on the first day, that's for sure. Why is Niktam and Nifridu apostle? Rashi says it twice in the Mishnah. Because Hadar be'inon v'leka. So the Rabbana, at least, have to agree that we have the psul of Hadar. And we're talking about what? A lulav. We're not talking about an esrog. So how could lulav sheniktam rosho or nifridu olav be possible? At least on the first day. According to the Rabbanan, unless they accept the drasha of Hadar. Says Rava, let's put this all together. What's the machlokas now between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? The Chachamim accept the drush of Hadar and they apply the Hadar of Esrog to the four minim. And how do I know this? Because of Niktam Rosho, which is certainly a psul of Hadar. they can extend this to the case of Yavesh. So at least on the first day of Sukkot, for sure the Torah requires Hadar, not only in Esrog, but in all four Minim. And therefore, all the psulim of Hadar are going to apply to the first day. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir B'Yavesh, he doesn't qualify. It seems like he's Machshir B'Yavesh even on the first day. Don't say that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Yavesh is possible on the first day. Rabbi Yehuda is Machshir B'Yavesh. It means Rabbi Yehuda rejects the whole drasha of Hadar. So there's so many things in the Mishnah now that are against Rabbi Yehuda. Anything in the Mishnah that says is a psul of what? Of Hadar. That's only according to the Shitas Chachamim, who accept the Hekesh between Esrog and all the other Minim. So if the Lulav is possible according to our Mishnah because of a Chisar and the absence of Hadar, this could be the Shitas Chachamim that accept the equation between Esrog and all Minim. And if to the same extent that an Esrog requires Hadar, all the Minim require Hadar, including a Lulav. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, rejects the equation, and he holds that Hadar is only a requirement in what? In Esrog, there's no requirement of Hadar in any of the other Minim. Do then, according to Rabbi Yehuda, these Minim are kosher even on the first day. So all the psulim that are listed in the Mishnah that we call a psulim nechefts of Hadar are all ksherim according to Rabbi Yehuda, because we're talking about a lulav and not an esrog. That's what it comes out according to Rav. Now I have to ask you the following question. According to the Shitas Chachamim, why is a lulav hayodesh possible? What does Rav tell me? Again, the Rabbanim, because we have a hekesh between what? Esrog and lulav. But that's going to give me a psul of lulav ayavesh on which day? Only on the first day. In order to go one step further and establish a psul of lulav ayavesh for all 7 days, I have to go way beyond Hadar. The psul of Hadar is limited to the first day of Yom Tov. According to Rabbanon, we can extend the psul of Hadar on the first day of Yontif from Esrog to all four Minim. So any lulav that's lacking in Hadar would be possible on the first day of Yontif. But what gives the Rabbanon the right to go beyond the first day of Yontif and say that a lulav ayavish is possible for all 7 days? As the Gemara says, Kaposik Vitani, Loshna Yontif Rishon, Loshna Yontif Sheni. That Yavesh, and the Gemara has no problem with that, is possible for 7 days. So what's Rashi's answer to that question? Because it's not Mehuderes, because the Torah says Van Veyu. In other words, it comes out here that the Rabbanon are constructing two different drushas, one on top of the other. The fundamental drusha is Hadar Be'in and Veleka, but that drusha can only take me as far as a psul on what? On the first day of Yom Tov. Now I need another drasha to piggyback on top of the first drasha. And Rashi says that the reason I need that second drasha is to justify lo kapasik vitani loshna Yom Tov Rishon loshna Yom Tov Sheni, that the psul of Yavesh is extended to include all 7 days. So what's that second drasha? Because Hadar B'inon could only justify the psul of Yavesh on the first day. How do I justify the psul of Yavesh throughout the 7 days? I need a second drasha. What's that second drasha? Sekeli Miamvei. Is Memela Rabosai, this sugya is not a stira to Rashi. We thought that this sugya is an open and shut case. The psul of Yavesh is Hadar. Yeah, you're right. The psul of Yavesh is Hadar. But that's only on the first day. When Rashi explains that the psul of Yavesh is based on Zekei Limian Veyu, Rashi wants to justify the Kaposik Vitani that the psul of Yavesh applies all 7 days.
So why is Yavesh connected to Gozel? Gozel is only the first day.
No, Gozel is, if we say that Gozel, well, let's go through the different sheetahs, right? So what's the psul of Gozel?
So Rashi says it's because of Mishal Lachem.
Lachem. Correct. So wait a second. Let's just read the Gemara here. Right. So we didn't get to the answer of the Gemara yet, right? Because your question is the Gemara's question. Let's read your question into the Gemara, but we didn't get to the Gemara's answer yet, right? So the Gemara says, "El gazul bishlem yontif rishon deksiv lachem el yontif sheni amai lo." And what's the Gemara's answer on the top of that flower?
It's above Avir.
Now,
Rashi doesn't bring that.
No, because Rashi wants the Bavar and the Gemara's cash. You know, Rashi on the Mishnah will always present the Havamin in the Gemara. He doesn't let the cat out of the bag. So Rashi tells us that the psul of Gazel is because of Lachem. Then the Gemara says, wait a minute, if it's a psul of Lachem, why is it possible called Shiva? And the answer is Mitzvah Bav Aveira. But Mitzvah Bav Aveira, as we said before, is a psul in the Maisel Akicha. Now the Mishnah goes ahead and says that Yavesh is possible called Shiva. And why is Yavesh possible called Shiva? Again, because of the Maisel Netila. So Rashi asks himself the question, but wait a minute, where's the psul of the Maisel Netila? Rashi's of the opinion that Hadar is only a psul in the Cheftza. And if it's only a psul in the Cheftza, there's no reason why the Rabbanu would extend it beyond the first day. The answer says, Rashi, no, it's a psul in the Maisel Netila. And just like if you took 3 out of 4 aminim for any day of Sukkot, you would not be Yotze. Rashi says that taking a lulav of a Yavish shouldn't be Yotze. So Rashi racks his brains. And he says, how could that be? What would justify a psul of Yavish called Shiva? If you can tell me Hadar, Hadar is only a psul of the Cheftza. It's not the psul of the Maisel Akicha. The Rabbanan would only extend a psul for all 7 days if it was a psul of the Maisel Akicha. So Rashi says, I have to introduce another drasha. And I piggyback one drasha on top of the other drasha. I start with a fundamental drasha of what? Of Hadar. That's going to only limit me to a psul in the first day of Yontif. Now I want to upgrade myself to another psul that's going to extend throughout the 7 days because it's a psul not just in the Cheftza but also in the Maisel Akicha. For that I need what? Another drasha. So Rashi looks for another drasha. Where did he find it? In Parshas Bishalach. Zekeli Me'atveyu. And Rashi holds that a Yavesh is so excluded from Zekeli Me'atveyu that it's therefore a psul in the mitzvah itself. So again, you know, I'm so convinced of this that I already forgot my kasha. I was so depressed at the beginning of the shiur. Now I'm besimcha gdol. Now I feel the simcha of Elul. But let me just get depressed again, just for a second, to appreciate the simcha. Again, the Gemara says clearly on Daf Lamed Aleph that the issue of Yavesh is an issue of Hadar. And the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan revolves around whether we have a psul of Hadar or not. So how could Rashi have the chutzpah, the audacity of telling me that the psul of Yavesh is not a psul of Hadar, but rather it's a psul of Zekeli Aveyu? The answer is because the entire sugi is trying to justify Rava's point, and Rava's chiddush was that Rav Yehuda's machshir even beyond the Rishon, which means that Rav Yehuda holds that Yavesh is not, there's no psul of Hadar in Lulav. Why is there no psul of Hadar in Lulav? Because Rav Yehuda never accepted what? The Hekesh. No, if Rav Yehuda never accepted the Hekesh to Esrog, then we understand that the Rabbanon, who extended the Hekesh and the requirement of Hadar to all Dalet Minim, they can apostle Lulav Yavesh. But now we're stuck with the following question. The Psul of Yavesh, as the Psul of Hadar, only applies to the first day. So we only have half the story. Our Mishnah says that the Psul of Yavesh, according to the Rabbanon, because the Mishnah reflects Jesus the Rabbanon, applies all 7 days. That's called Kapasik Vitani. Lo Shno Yantav Risha, Lo Shno Yantav Sheni. And Rashi Lishitoso held that the only way you can jump that gap and postulate a psul kol shiva, even as far as the mitzvah derabbanan on the balance of Yontif, is only if you assume there's a psul the maisa netila. Where's the psul the maisa netila in the case of Yavesh? And the answer is zekeli v'yantav. Okay, rabbis. Ad kana kofa alef. Now we talk about mitzvah bav avir. It's one of my favorite topics. Mitzvah bav avir. So again, one issue that I want to touch on is the Shenemar. You know, it says Shenemar. Okay. But there's no one here who ever heard of Chatzkel Ritter, is there?
Who?
Chatzkel Ritter. No, you're not from Brooklyn. No. You see, Avi, if you're from Brooklyn, you might have heard of Chatzkel Ritter. He was one of the great Chazonim in my youth. So he had a famous song called Shenemar. You know, in the last kapitel that we say on Yom Noraim, After the Chazor Sashatz, you know, there's a liturgy that adds right before the Shliach Tzibur ends his presentation, and it goes through Shenemar, 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 Shenemar. So Chatzkel Ritter had this great song Shenemar. So the first issue about Mitzvah Bav Aveir is how to interpret the word Shenemar. which is on the top of Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. Because usually, the word shenemar indicates what kind of a psul or a din.
Doraisa.
But here, I'm not sure about it. Because it says Vaivesem Gozel Vesapiseach Vyasachola. Does anybody know where in the Bible I can find this pasuk?
Yes.
Where?
In Shmos.
No, it's not in Shmos. I looked in Shmos. I even did a word search through Bar Ilan. I couldn't find it anywhere in Shmos.
Malachi.
It's in Malachi. Malachi in Shado is one of the last of the Mohicans. You know, when you get to the end of Tanakh, when you're absolutely exhausted, you get a little refresher when you get to Malachi, especially if you know the Sugya Mitzvah Bav Aviv. But if you derive Shenemar from a pasuk in Malachi, it doesn't necessarily have the status of what? Of a Doraisa. However, I think that I have a proof that this Shenemar generates a Doraisa. How do I prove it? Tosfos has the following issue. The Gemara says that a Lulav Shel Asherah, which was worshipped, is possible because of a principle called Kitusei Mechta Shiura, which means that if the Lulav was worshipped as part of an Asherah, then you have to put it to the flame, put it to the torch. And that's called kisaruf tamei. And if it's already considered like it's burnt up in smoke, then it doesn't have a shear of the dalid tfachim of a lulav. Very complicated halacha. I'm not going to tell you that I can simplify for you for that, because for many years I tried to understand how this works and I never got a grasp on it. So Tosfos asked the following question: why does Gemara have to come up with this very complex, sophisticated, abstract psul of Asherah? Why not just say it's a mitzvah bav avera? You know, to take a lulav that was worshipped as an avodah zarah, we don't combine averos and mitzvahs. Now, from the very fact that Tosfos asked this question, what do you see about Tosfos? How did he understand the psul of mitzvah bav avera? Is it doraisa or derabbanan?
It must be
Dorais. No, Fakir, it must be Dorais. If it's not Dorais, Harvey, if it's only the Rabbanan, what's fair? Tosfos wants to know, why do I need the psul of Kisaruf Dami in the case of Asherah? Why do I need Kitusei Mechta Shiura, Frektosis? Why not just apply the principle of Mitzvah Bav Avera? That's not a valid question. The whole institution, the whole enterprise of Mitzvah Bav Avera is only a rabbinic institution. It's only the Rabbanan. And Tosfos on Daf Tes, by the way, the Gemara has a drasha that Spasukas Teshvu, that you can't sit in a Sukkah Gzula. And the Gemara has a drasha for that. Maybe we'll take a look. I haven't seen it in many years. Somebody used very cool colors here on this Gemara. This Gemara is a hand-me-down from the Amic Learning Center. So it says here that Sukkah Gzula is possible. Oh, Chaga Sukkah's Tatsa Lecha. And the Gemara says, Lecha Limute Gzula. So you're sitting in a Sukkah, you're sitting in your own Sukkah, I kick you out of your Sukkah, I take over your Sukkah. So I can't fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah. Why? Because it says Tatsa Lecha. So Tosfos asks, why do I need Lecha? Forget about the word Lecha, it's a mitzvah Bav Avera. So again, you see that Tosfos is operating with the premise that mitzvah bav avera is what? Is doraisa, because otherwise there's no cash in Tosfos. So the question is, how do you operate here? How do you engineer this, that Shenemar here, which quotes a pasuk in Malachi, generates a psul doraisa? I don't know. I don't have an answer to that question. The Ritva wants to say it's a separate aloch and lulav, and I don't know. But what I'm more interested in is Tosfos' answer to the question of Lulav Shel Asherah. Remember I told you that Tosfos asked the Kasha, why does the Gemara need Lulav Shel Asherah? It has to be birthed, and therefore it's Ketusei Mechta Shiura. Why not just say the Lulav Shel Asherah is a psul of what? Of mitzvah
ba'aveira.
So I'm fascinated by Tosfos' answer to this question. Because he really radically changes the concept of mitzvah ba'aveira. So if you take a look at the Tosfos Divrei HaMaskil Mishum here on the top of Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, you drop down about 10 lines. V'im Tomar Frektosis L'kamon on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis Paslin on Lulav Shel Asherah Shel Ira Nidachas Mishum de Michtas Shi'ura.
Because it's now got a proper share.
Correct. What's the share of Lulav? No matter what answer you give me, Harvey, you're wrong. I'm playing a game with you. I give you two choices, either 3 tefachim or 4 tefachim, right? Which one do you want to choose? If you choose 3 tefachim, I'll tell you you're wrong because Rashi says it's 4 tefachim. And if you choose 4 tefachim, I'll say you're wrong because the Mishnah says it's 3 tefachim. Okay. In any event, whatever the shear of lulav is, which we'll have to figure out, whether the mystery, whether it's 3 tefachim or 4 tefachim. So the Gemara establishes that a lulav shel Asherah, even though again on the outside it looks exactly like a tall lulav, but it's a very short lulav. It's less than 3 tefachim, less than 4 tefachim, whatever it is. So Frank tells us, why is Gemara have to come on to this fantastical chiddush that a lulav ha'asherah is considered mektusei mechtus shiura? Why not just say tepeklei? What does tepeklei mean? Again, I'm only saying this to you because I don't know your level of Aramaic. You know, what's tepeklei? Learn it without this fantastical chiddush. Mishum mitzvah bab ha'veira. Okay, then, so you should be underlining those words. Tepeklei mishum mitzvah bab ha'veira. So we're gonna fast forward to Tosus's answer for the time being. Maybe, you know, at some future time we'll go back and we'll fill in the missing blanks. Tosus says, "V'yesh lomo d'lul dami legezel." This is not similar to the case of a stolen lulav. And what's the status of a stolen lulav, Rabosai? Mitzvah bab ha'veira. This is not similar. The case of Asherah is not similar. And it's a little bit counterintuitive because I would have said a kavod chomer here. I mean, if stealing is, you know, stealing is not one of the 3 cardinal sins. And how much more so, the avera of avodah zarah is so much more chomer and strict. Tosfos says, why? He says, the machmas, what's the case of gzela? The machmas averas hagezel ba'a hamitzvah. Please underline those words. Are you familiar with this? John, you've seen this before. Ah, okay. But maybe we'll be able to see it in a different light. Machmas ha'vera ba'a ha'mitzvah. In other words, I have to obtain a lulav. I have no lulav. I ain't got a lulav. So what do? Not me. I steal your lulav, right? So how did I set up the mitzvah? How did I have access to a lulav? What gave me the ability to do the mitzvah? The aver, the gezel. That's called machmas avera ba hamitzvah. As a result of the avera, the mitzvah happened. Now, when I take this lulav shel asherah, did the avodah zarah in any way contribute to my ability to be mekayim the mitzvah of netilas lulav?
No.
If I hadn't, if Ploni Almoni had not worshipped this asherah, I couldn't have taken the lulav. Does worshipping the asherah make the lulav into a lulav? You know, in the case where I have no access to a lulav, unless I steal your lulav, clearly the mitzvah was set up. I like to call this birth. Leida, we call it in Hebrew, right? Is maholid et ha-mitzvah. What gave birth to the mitzvah? So in the case of mitzvah bab avera, says Tosfos, it's the avera shaholida es ha-mitzvah. It's the violation, the criminal act, is what gave birth to the mitzvah, what made it possible to do the mitzvah. But not so in the case of asherah, says Tosfos. Avolhani, but in the case of asherah, or for a matter of the case of what? Of Irani Dachas. Otu. Whenever you see the word Otu, it's a rhetorical question, you know, as if to say, can you say such a thing? Otu, can you say such a thing? That Machmas Avera Shenasespo Minofik Bey, that he was Yotze with this Lula because of the Avera that was done? Because somebody worshipped this Asherah, therefore I could do the mitzvah? And if he hadn't worshipped this Lula, if I could not use it as a mitzvah? Satosis now has really severely restricted the principle and the application of mitzvah bab avera. When does mitzvah bab avera apply? And only when does mitzvah bab avera apply? Who can answer that question? Don, can you answer the question for me?
Gezel.
No, I didn't mean gezel. I mean, there may be 50 other cases, but I'm talking in abstract terms. What would be your criterion, your definition for mitzvah bab avera?
Mitzvah. on the aveira itself.
Say it again, Avi.
The mitzvah happens as a result of the aveira.
The mitzvah was set up, it's a result of the aveira.
You said it 4 years ago.
See, Avi has a great memory. I long forgot what I said 4 years ago. In fact, I forgot what I said yesterday.
Wouldn't that work if I stole it on Yantip, and as I stole it, I took it, I did the mitzvah.
Oh, both in one action, you mean?
What? Yeah, but if I stole it before Yantip, there's no mitzvah. I mean, you're right.
Let's assume, Dr. Joel, that there's only one lulav anywhere within, you know, my radius, right? What word should I use? My sphere of influence. If that be the case, I don't care when I stole the lulav. It could have been this year, and I'm using it next year. It makes no difference. I had no access. I had no possibility or availability of fulfilling this mitzvah without stealing the lulav. Now you could always ask me, what happens if I had two lulav? One is stolen, and one is not stolen. One is legitimately mine. I don't know what Tosis would say about that. That's complicated. That's already Shlav Bet. I'm still stuck in Shlav Aleph. Because Rabbi said, what I want to ask you is, what happens in the case of Matzas Tevel? Okay, I'm going to write this on the board. Okay? The only problem is I need an eraser here. Does anybody have an eraser?
Sorry,
but where? It's on the floor. Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. This is called Matzah Shel Tevel. Okay? You have that? So Tevel is what's called Macholas Asura. So I'm not allowed to eat Tevel. That's a Chiv B'Sevidei Shemayim. That's a very severe Issa. But what happens if he took Matzah's Tevel, in other words, he wasn't Matzah's Trumas and Maestros, and he baked it as Matzah, and now he eats it as Matzah? According to Tosis, what would you say? Is that called a Mitzvah Bob Avera? Is it because it's Tevel that I was able to be Mekayim this Mitzvah? Are you with me? I have now three cases. Phil, are you with me? I don't want you to lose them.
I'm watching you closely.
You know, I've been working very hard today, so I don't want you to lose them. There are three cases. One is a stolen lulav. Okay. The other case is a worshipped lulav. And the third case is matzah shel tevel. So we say the following. In a case of a stolen lulav, that's called mitzvah ba'avera. It's possible because machmas ha-mitzvah ba'avera, right? It was the avera that set up the mitzvah, right? The avera, I called it the mother that gave birth to the mitzvah. It facilitated the mitzvah. However, in contrast, in the case of Ashera, the avoda of the Ashera is totally coincidental. It has no relationship whatsoever to set up the mitzvah of lulav. It's lomayla v'lomorid. It doesn't add or subtract anything from the mitzvah. Where would you classify the case of matzah shel tevel? It's not mitzvah b'avera. Because the fact that it's tevel has nothing to do with the mitzvah. So Tosfos quotes a Gemara in Pesach. This is a fast forward to the last four lines in Tosfos. Umiu tema. Do you see where it says umiu tema? The first word, four and a half lines up from the end of Tosfos, is tema. Can you underline that word tema? Tema means what? Usually the word tema means a stira, a contradiction. It doesn't always mean a contradiction. Tema. The perikol shah, second perik of Pesachim, Tanya, we have a brisa. Ein yotze yidei matzah b'tevel. He does not fulfill his mitzvah of matzah with tevel. Why not? There's only one possible answer. And that's mitzvah b'avera. But that undermines the whole thesis of Tosis. Because matzah shel tevel should be exactly equivalent to what case, what paradigm of case? Asherah. Just like in Asherah, the Avodah Zarah doesn't contribute ki hu zeh to the mitzvah of lulav, so too in the case of Tevel, the Avera of Achilas Tevel, with all due respect, has no contributing factor to set up the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. It happens to be that in this Achila, there's also an Avera of Achilas Tevel, but that's just a coincidence, you know, a time sequential coincidence of two Averas. But it's not that machmas havera bar mitzvah.
It's not causative.
It's not causative. So Tosus says that he has no problem. He has no problem. He understands that this is mitzvah baba meir. Matzah's tevel is mitzvah baba. The only problem is he has to tell me why. He just says it's no problem. And in fact, Tosfos says that since matzah's tevel should be mitzvah baba meir, he doesn't understand why the Gemara himself, and that's a very complicated drasha, a Yalfusa, to derive the psul of matzah shel tevel. And the Gemara says, matzah has to be dumi de lechem, just like you're allowed to eat lechem, so you're allowed to eat the matzah. And if you have matzah, which is also because of a different Isser, it's not similar to a classical case of lechem. So if Tosin says, typically, I don't understand. Darsh le mikra, typically, mishum de mitzah baba vera. De ka'ochal isura, he's eating Isser, v'nafak yidei. Matzah, and he's trying to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. It's the Rabbi Sachman said beautifully, causative. Now I have another word to introduce, right? There's a new category of mitzvah baba vera. Not causative, but what?
Transformative.
Not causative, but what?
Transformative.
Reactionary to it.
Simultaneity. Watch this. If you violate an avera, and at the same moment, this comes back to Dr. Joel's point from before, but not exactly, as I'll point out. At the same second that you violate an avera, you fulfill a mitzvah. That's called mitzvah b'avera. Tosis now has two categories of mitzvah b'avera. Category number one is machmas ha-mitzvah. Excuse me. Machmas avera bar mitzvah, causative. And now Tosfos has another category. It's not causative, but it's simultaneous. Meaning that the same second that you violated the avera, you fulfilled the mitzvah. Now, in the case of gzela, do I have simultaneity? No, but what do I have? Causative. Right? Because if not for the gzela, I have no access to another lulav. Let's say this is the only lulav within my radius. In the case of matzah's tevel, I don't have causative because the avera of achilas tevel in no way contributes or facilitates or causes the mitzvah of matzah, but I do have what? Simultaneity. But there's one case that doesn't have either and cannot be classified under either one of those two categories. What's that?
Asherah.
Because Asherah both is irrelevant to the mitzvah and it's not simultaneous to the mitzvah. In other words, the avera of worshipping the Asherah took place yesterday, or I don't care, 5 minutes ago, it doesn't matter, and the mitzvah takes place now. So there's no simultaneity. But in the case of achilas tevel, matzah shel tevel, there's no way that you can separate the two, the mitzvah and the avera, and say it's bozech or zeh. It's got to be bevasachas, meaning it has to be simultaneous. Why? Because what's the avera? Achila. What's the mitzvah? Achila. If the achila is both the mitzvah and the avera, you ate tevel and you ate matzah, no good. That's a no-no. Tosfos now has expanded the scope of mitzvah baba meir in a very significant way. Not only does mitzvah baba meir apply when machmas ha-avera nases ha-mitzvah, you come in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom with a mitzvah, and Hashem says, hey, where'd you get it from? Where'd you get that lulav from? You're waving a lulav in my face, the Almighty says? That's like piseach. That's like the case of a carbon pasul, because the animal is repulsive to bring on the mizbeach. It's missing its limbs. And the Torah says, I'm not going to tolerate a lulav hagozel. But what does that have to do with tevel? Tevel didn't set up this mitzvah. The answer is, you're coming with an achila. What is the nature of that achila? Ah, it's an achilas matzah. Oh, you're a big tzaddik. Right? It's an achilas matzah shel mitzvah. At the same time, it's an achilas avera. Hashem says, I'm not going to tolerate that maisa mitzvah. A maisa mitzvah, which is done by definition with an avera, and it has two, it's a schizophrenic, it has two personalities to it, that's excluded. But the case of Asherah, I'll just finish one last sentence, Dr. Joel, if you don't mind. But in the case of Asherah, Tosfos says, Mimarshak, it's not mitzvah above avera. Why? Because the avera was done coincidentally, so to speak, to the mitzvah. It is in no way contributes to the mitzvah. And number two, the avera was done before the mitzvah. So the mitzvah is totally independent of the avera. When I come forward with this lulav shel Asherah, There's no psul of mitzvah of aveir b'manavshach. I'm not coming in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam with a lulav that I obtained through an aveira. It wasn't because of the aveira. If there was no aveira, sorry, I still would have had the same lulav. And at the same time, the mice of the tilus lulav and the sashera is not incumbent with. It's not intertwined with what? With a mice aveira. So there's no mitzvah of aveira. Says the Gemara, you know why the Mishnah apostles are Shera for a much more complex, abstract reason, which is called Ketuse Mechteshu. Dr. Joe?
Bris Mila.
How are we doing on the clock, by the way? Are we still five minutes?
Okay. What's interesting, this Bris Mila and Makam Tras, that you're doing in a Veira at the time, you're doing this, it's simultaneous, and that's motive because the Asse is Dokhu Dolos Asse. So why is eating matzah that's terrible? It's the only matzah you've got.
So Dr. Joel is asking the following question. Why is mitzvah b'avah there possible? Why not say esei docho lo sasa? And whenever the two are simultaneous, that's called bi'idna in the Gemara's language. Bi'idna, if you want to write that down, bi'idna, with an ayin, bi'idna.
We apply the exact time.
Exact time, simultaneity. We apply the principle of mitzvah b'avah of esei docho lo sasa. So comes along Dr. Joel and asks a fantastical question. I'm going to tell you in a minute who asked this question, a little bit before your talk. Why is it that matzah's tevel is completely excluded, and why not apply the principle of what? Of asei dochalos asei. So the one who asked this question is the Shagas Aryeh. You heard of the Shagas Aryeh? He lived about 200 years ago, a little bit more. So in order to appreciate the answer to Shagas Aryeh, we have to reread the Tosus here. Tosus says at the bottom, he says, Umiyu Tema, the perikol shah, Tanya, Eno Yotze Yidei Matzah Betevel, V'dorish Le Mikra. And the Gemara dashens this from a pasuk, is typically Bishum Mitzah Baba Vera. So Tosus says that since there's simultaneity, we apply the principle of mitzvah baba avera, and therefore that itself should be sufficient to undermine and disqualify the mitzvah of achilas matzah, in this case of tevel. Why does the Gemara therefore need a special pasuk to exclude matzah's tevel and disqualify it? And Tosus doesn't give an answer to this question. I mean, Tosus is absolutely convinced that simultaneity is enough to generate the psul of mitzvah baba avera, and therefore he doesn't understand how to justify the alfusa, the derivation in the Gemara in Psach. Okay, so right now I don't have the Shagas Aryeh with me in my head. But I want to leave you with the following question, because we're going to have to daven mincha soon. And here's the question I want to ask. In the light of this Tosus, what would be your answer to the following question? The Gzela took place on this lulav, and the Nigzal, the original owner of the lulav, was Misyaish. He gave up. Okay? Now, let's assume for one moment that Yeish Kani, which means that now the Gazlan, because he did a Maisa Gzela in which he took your object into his domain, add to that Yeush, the fact that the Nigzal holds on no hope, he's completely despaired of getting it back. That gives an acquisition to the Gazlan. Could he use that lulav to be yotzei the mitzvah of lulav now that it's his? So let's go step by step. Under the law of lachem, if you hold yeush kani, no problem. Yeah. But under the law of what? Of mitzvah baba vera, there's a problem because machmas havera ba mitzvah, right? Again, he was misyaish, but he was misyaish only because you stole it. So the Avera of Gzela is what sets up the possibility for the mitzvah. So Tosus says the following, that since the Yeush took place before the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav, before the mitzvah was implemented, there's no psul of mitzvah baba. And this whole sugya of Lulav HaGozel is predicated on one premise, that Yeush lo kani, that Yeish itself is not a kinyan. Not because of the psul of Lachem, Rabosai, but because of the psul of Mitzvah Bavera. That the psul of Mitzvah Bavera, this is the subject that Tosfos Dibur Maskil Ha here on the bottom of the page, which Berlinator will try to pick up. The whole psul of Mitzvah Bavera is because the Gazlan did not make a kinyan before he took the lulav. Why? Because yesh b'chdi lo kani. Again, don't get nervous on me. We'll talk about this at great length. I'm just giving you a little bit of to the last 2 minutes of shiur, food for thought for tomorrow. And Tosfos says that when is there a psul of mitzvah b'avera? That's only if yesh lo kani v'shini reshus is kani, which means that when the gazlan gives over this lulav to the fence, if you follow what I mean, right, to the person, then at that point, the kinyan of gzela has been clinched at the moment that he takes the lulav. And since the kinyan of gzela is simultaneous with the netilas lulav, therefore there's a psul of mitzvah b'avera. What does Tosfos mean? Is this Tosfos l'shitaso, that not only is there a psul of mitzvah b'avera in causative, but it is also a psul of mitzvah b'avera in simultaneity? Because Tosfos says that if yeish b'chdi kani, there would be no psul of mitzvah b'avera. But Tosfos says if you need yeish plus shini reshus, then because the shini reshus clinches the kinyan, and that's the moment that he takes the lulav, there is simultaneity, and therefore we apply the principle of mitzvah above here. All right, I'll wish everyone a great day. What is your name? You look so familiar. So where do I know you from?
A couple of places. Smith Adelsberg is my...